need you to take that out, and it has a question in it to begin with. The question is this: when you were kids, what motivated you to obey your parents? Fear of their punishment for disobedience, or your love and respect for them? So, what do you think? The first one, fear of being punished, motivated you to obey them. Okay, all right. You'd say both. All right. So your love for them too. The love grows over time. Okay. Right. Respect. Right. As you learn, you get less paddles. Yeah. Are you speaking from experience? Or were you one of those kids that took a while to learn? Yeah, me too. I remember one time my older brother Doug, who's 2 years older than me, he was about 12, 13, and he picked on me relentlessly. And one day, I heard Doug screaming, and mom takes and hauls him into the kitchen, bends him over a chair, and wallops him with a wooden spoon. And I'm going, "Go, Mom! Yeah! Give him a couple for me!" Well, 3 weeks ago, I taught from scriptures that as a Christian, you don't have to worry about God judging you in terms of punishment. And you don't have to worry about God sending you to hell when you sin. Why not? Well, because as a Christian, God deals with you through righteousness, not punishment. I don't know if you remember, we talked about a sinner, a person outside of Jesus. When that person sins, God's only choice with that person is to condemn, bring punishment. As a Christian, God responds to us when we sin through righteousness. He deals with us in righteousness. What that means is God is working to bring us closer to what it looks like to be Him. Not that we are God or we can ever achieve godhood, but that we are becoming to look more like our Father. And so God uses righteousness. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about discipline, not being fun at the moment. But Scripture says in Hebrews 12 that God disciplines those He loves as a father disciplines his children. And that discipline isn't fun in the moment, but it matures us, just as we've already said here. Excuse me. So we don't have to worry about God punishing us in terms of condemning us to hell. Romans 8:1, again, helps us understand that. So the teaching that I gave raises a legitimate question that goes something like this. I've often let the fear of God, the fear of being punished, motivate me to obey. If I don't need to fear being punished or judged as evil by my Father, what do I use to motivate myself now to obey? That's a legitimate question. I think we have, I think that we have misunderstood judgment. Perhaps we grew up like I did when I was a little boy going to church with my mom, hearing the pastor talk about hell and damnation, and oh my goodness, I was scared. I was afraid of God. I don't think the pastor meant for me to go there, but that's where I went. God's angry. Don't mess up. You know, and you can, that can motivate you to try to obey God, But when you obey God out of fear of being punished if you don't get it right, that gets tiring after a while. And after a while, the weight of the fear says, we go to this place, I give up. I've been trying so hard, and here I am still afraid of my Father punishing me. And that becomes so heavy that we give up after a while. So let's answer this question. If I don't need to fear God's punishment, then what is left to motivate me to obey Him? The answer comes in two parts. First of all, fear does have a place in motivating us to obedience. The God of the Old Testament, how many of you read the Old Testament and seen God punish people in the Old Testament? Oh boy, howdy. Yeah, I'm reading through 1 and 2 Samuel right now. And oh my goodness, there's a lot of punishment going on. A lot of swords being stuck into people. A lot of death going on. And God is dealing with sin. He's dealing with people who reject Him. And so that's the God of the Old Testament. He reveals His power and His authority. God does in the Old Testament to judge and punish. But let's remember that the God of the Old Testament is also the God of the New Testament. And the Jews of the Old Testament had a great fearful respect for God. But the Old Testament and New Testament are clear about this point. Your Father God is also a very gracious God. Yeah, He's angry about sin. Yeah, it hurts Him when we reject Him, when we do it our way instead of His way. But He's very gracious to mankind. Therefore, the fear of God's power and authority is in the background. It's in the background, okay? It's behind us there somewhere. We know it's there, and we have a respect for it, okay? And so just like when we were kids, and we got paddled for something we knew we weren't supposed to do, we did it anyway, and we got that paddling for it. Then later on, when I'm thinking about doing that thing again, I'm remembering back there that fear. It's a respect. It's a fearful respect. It's not that God is, He's going to pound me. It's in the background, but it's not the center of your reason for obeying God. Psalms 103, I read it this morning. Psalm 103, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. There's this fearful respect of God. I loved what Bob Johns one time here, several years ago, he preached on fear, and he said the fear of God ought to make you run to God, not away from Him. That's a correct understanding of fear. Of the fear of God. God is gracious. Secondly, God gives His sacrificial love with the intent to draw you back to Him even after you've sinned so greatly against Him. God gives His sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. Christ on the cross. See that happening. Think of the movie The Passion of the Christ. Have you seen that movie? How powerful and graphic it is. What Jesus did, what love did, what motivated Him. To the grateful heart, this produces an ongoing response on our part, and the response is to love God with an ongoing obedience. See, God has an ongoing love for you, an ongoing I'm keeping you, and the response to that is an ongoing obedience. So in the background, there's a fearful respect of God. I know His power. I know His authority. And I respect that. That helps me, yes, but it's not the main reason why I obey. The main reason I obey is because God has been so gracious to me. Through the cross, through his love for me, he came into my darkness when I couldn't find my way out. He brought his light to me. How many times does, when an angel comes to someone, the first words out of his mouth is what? Do not fear. Do not fear. That's an awesome, awesome truth. Do not fear. I'm not here to destroy you. Examples of this wonderful tension. We have this tension between fear and compassion. Okay? I think it's there on purpose. This tension. Do I fear God? Oh, no. No, it's not that kind of fear. It's a respectful fear. I know what God can do. But the compassion, and there's this kind of tension between these two. Philippians chapter 2, 12 and 13. Turn there with me. Philippians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Verses 12 and 13. I'm going to start in chapter 1, verse 27 to give us the flavor of Philippians. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Okay, there's the setting for this book. Whatever happens, doesn't matter what it is, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, Philippians chapter 2, starting verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now how much more, in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. Really? Am I going to be afraid that if I make a mistake, God's going to pound me? No. I have a respectful fear of God bringing to me correction. I don't like disappointing him. And sometimes I do. And sometimes it's by mistake, and probably most of the time it's premeditated. I know what I'm doing when I'm doing it. You know? But this work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now here comes the best part. Verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Your part in maturing in your salvation, so God gives you salvation full and free, it comes to you, you accept Christ as your Savior, you are now saved in him, and you're covered by the blood, and that salvation is now yours. And then God says, grow up in your salvation. Mature, okay? Maturity isn't a destination, it's a journey. We learn how to mature more. We learn how to walk like Jesus walks more. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says to, keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. When I was in basic training back in 1979, Fort Knox, Kentucky, I loved what they called drill and ceremony, where you learned how to march, and you would, there's, you know, four lines of us, there's 40 of us in one platoon, or in one company here. I'm saying the wrong terms. Anyway, there's 40 of us, and we're marching, and I got picked to be the platoon leader of platoon one. There's four platoons, 10 men each, and I'm in the front left corner, marching along with the guys, and they're all falling, and everybody keys off of me. Whoa. I got promoted to that position because I was doing so well. I'm marching along, and we're practicing because next week we're going to have a drill and ceremony contest with the other units that are there on base. It's going to be cool. I'm marching away, and we turn around, and we go this way, and we go that way, and we learn how to do it. It's really awesome to watch. And you know what's really cool about it? I love about marching, drill, and ceremony is every boot is hitting the ground at the exact same time. Boom, 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 boom. And it's empowering, you know. It's like, whoa, we're powerful people here. This is good stuff. And it's fun, and I loved it. Are you getting the picture? I liked it? And it was great. And so drill and ceremony day came the next week, and we're out there and we're marching, and the drill sergeant's right beside me, and he's calling out cadence. And we're going along. I'm loving it. This is really cool stuff. And he calls a certain move we're supposed to make, and I got out of step. And I could not find my beat. And the whole platoon was off. And we got back to our barracks. Private Durfee, get in here. Yes, drill sergeant. You're to the back of the line. And I got demoted. And I was heartbroken. I made a mistake. And I lost my position. In Christ, you don't have to worry about that. And I was embarrassed. I let the whole platoon down. We didn't win. But in Christ, he doesn't say, get out of here. He says, come here. Let me show you how to do this my way. Let me show you how to do this my way. And then we get going and we start, okay, is that the step? Yeah, that's, okay, I think, and we turn around, okay, all right, I think I'm getting it, God, I think I'm getting it. And we start to learn, and when I'm keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5, I start standing up a little straighter, and I know how to turn, and I can stop, and I can do an about face, and I can do a left face, and I can do a half flank, and I can do all kinds of things, and because I'm taking the lead off of the Holy Spirit. Keep in step with him. Whew, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. You have your part to play. God gave you salvation. Now mature, grow up, keep in step with him. And it's good. And when you're in step with the Holy Spirit, your spirit knows it. And you stand a little straighter. And you feel that connection. And it's all good. Can you imagine the entire church keeping in step with each other because we're taking our lead off of the Holy Spirit? Ah, that's good stuff. God has his part. You have your part to play. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Let's go to another verse. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. I shared about this passage a couple of weeks ago as well. Called this the Christian's bar of soap. 1 John 1:9 says this: if we confess our sins. Oh, there we go. I'm in chapter 2. Chapter 1:9. If we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, we see here God's part, and we also see in our part. What's our part? Confess our sins to him, okay? But I want to go a little bit further. This, what I'm going to share with you is kind of between the lines here of what John is talking about, what Paul talks about, what Peter talks about, is this. Confess your sins to God with the intent of doing it better. With the intent of, I'm not going back there again. I'm not going to do that again. Now, maybe we say that and we do go back there again. But if I confess my sin to God and just say, there, my sins are forgiven, I feel good. God's forgiven me. I claim that I'm forgiven and I'm now clean in him. That's all good. But if I do not intend on moving out of that sin another step, what am I doing? I'm taking advantage of my God. I'm playing him as a fool. Thanks, God. Love the forgiveness. Don't intend on changing. You see, our part is to confess with the intent to be more like our Father, with the intent to follow his word more intently, more purposely. Yes? Is this true? Yeah. That's your part. Follow God more intently. And I think if we just go around in circles and say, God, please forgive me, I did that thing again, and now I claim that your promise that I'm clean and forgiven and purified from all unrighteousness, I'm just good now, thanks. With no intent of changing, I think that makes my Father mad. I think he has a right to be angry about that. And that fearful respect that's back here in the background starts to come up a little closer. And God says, Delbert, I got a few things I need you to know. Don't mess with my heart. So this morning, worship team, come on up. This morning, let's respond to God with knowing he's done his part and that we have a part to play too. And that our part is very serious. It's a very serious, God is serious about his part in helping us walk like him. He's very serious about providing salvation. He's very serious about it. We need to be serious too about our walk with him and not just play the game. Because in the background is this fearful respect. God has power and authority to deal with us. But that's in the background. Our biggest motivation for obeying God is not fear of getting pounded. It's the fear, it's the love of God. He is compassionate. He's full of compassion for you. Don't take advantage of it, but let God pull you closer. Let him draw you closer to home with his love and his compassion. So the answer to the question is, motivates me now? The answer is fear, yes, but mostly compassion, God's love for us. Both are important and necessary, just like when we were growing up as kids. So today, let's do this. Let's sing under the wings of God, his covering over, shall we? Can we sing about that? And just have joy there, knowing that God is compassionate for us, but he's also serious about us growing and maturing in him. Let's stand together as we sing.